This is the new era of engineering, Crafting the Future, a podcast series from Capgemini that showcases how academia and Capgemini come together to solve complex problems in order to create value for both business and the planet. I'm your host, Liz Lunier, and together we'll explore how we're making industry more intelligent through ecosystem collaboration. This is the second part of a two-part episode focused on building trust in both artificial intelligence and autonomous systems. Today, we will cover the outcomes and the future of the MIT's and Capgemini's research collaboration. We welcome back Daniela Roos, director of the CSAIL at MIT, and Andy Vickers, the CTO in charge of defining Capgemini Engineering's position on all aspects of artificial intelligence, including the adoption of generative AI. Welcome back, Daniela. Welcome back, Andy. Let's begin by outlining some of the problems you're tackling in this research collaboration. Andy, could you give us some examples of the client problems that this research is addressing?
I think one of the attractive features of this work is its breadth of applicability. Fundamentally, AI is just maths. It's quite sophisticated maths, but it is just maths at the end of the day, even if there is quite a lot of mystique wrapped around it. Turning AI into engineering application is about incorporating it inside well-understood engineering processes, processes that you can reason about and manage at scale, and where appropriate, connect with other formal processes like safety engineering. We started in the world of autonomous mobility, and which was the original application area, but the technology is going to be relevant where the application areas have particular demands on explainability or require limited resource demands or smaller amounts of compute power, particularly where we want to put the engineering capability in the field or in non-office type environments. It's this breadth of applicability that was one of the attractions of the collaboration.
So, Daniela, what are some of the scientific problems you're addressing in your research?
We are looking at some of the challenges and flaws with today's AI solutions. For instance, the bias problem and the size problem of today's AI systems. And we are aiming to develop technical solutions for those problems. But we are also looking at how to create new approaches to AI and machine learning, because we observe that most of today's solutions are based on ideas that were invented decades ago. They didn't work decades ago, but now they work because the ideas are enhanced by data and computation. In addition to this, we are also looking at applications. In our collaboration with Capgemini, we have had the great privilege of exploring some physics-based approaches to develop machine learning and AI solutions. And we call this approach liquid networks.
That sounds really interesting. Can you talk to me a little bit more about these liquid neural networks? What does that mean? What does that entail?
Liquid networks are a kind of an artificial neural network where the computation of the neuron is much more extensive than the computation of each neuron in a deep neural network. And as a result, we have formulated a mathematical model with which we are able to obtain much more compact solutions. And so liquid networks result in smaller neural networks for very complex problems. Because we have smaller neural networks, we can extract decision trees for interpreting and explaining how these networks reach their decisions. And so now, even if we don't know exactly how a network may reach a decision for larger networks, we are also interested in ensuring that the output of the machine learning solution is stable and safe. And to achieve that, we have developed a new approach we call BarrierNet, which essentially brings some aspects of control theoretic solutions into machine learning. And the way it works is we add another layer, the barrier net layer, before the output layer of a neural network.
That's absolutely fascinating. Let's talk about some of the outcomes then of this collaboration. I know that some of your research has been published, but it would be lovely to hear from you a little bit about this. What solutions have you already been able to identify in the course of your joint collaboration? Daniela, maybe let's start with you and talk about maybe how it could have impacts on society or...
Since we started working together, we have published a number of papers. We have published work that explains how liquid networks work. We have published works on how you extract decisions from liquid networks. We have published works on the theoretical foundations of BarrierNet and how you apply them. Most excitedly, right now we are working with the Capgemini team to submit two collaborative papers to the next upcoming conference in robotics. And this is really, really exciting for us because it really underscores the importance of our working together. These two papers that are in the works right now would not have existed without the collaboration.
Gotcha. That's fantastic. So can you help us talk a little bit more about some of the other knowledge that this research might have on society?
We are so excited about our work and how it can uncover new knowledge, because ultimately this is the main objective of the Academy. But we are also very interested in ensuring that our ideas have an impact today. And this is an area that is very encouraged at MIT. This is especially important for autonomous driving and for other safety critical applications. And so we started asking whether there could be impact on business and society with the machine learning approaches we have been developing, in particular with liquid networks.
Well, what are your thoughts on this?
We've developed liquid networks over the past 4 or 5 years. This approach has very nice properties. It has a nice technical foundation. But it is mostly applicable to problem domains where data comes in the form of time series. And so in the recent past, we've been thinking about whether there are any practical applications for liquid networks and in general for these compact solutions for time series applications to business. And as a result of this, we formed a new company called Liquid AI. This company was co-founded with several former students and postdocs who are now running the company and who have been collaborators with Capgemini from the very beginning.
Well, that covers the business outcomes, but what about the societal and sustainability impacts?
In addition to this business impact, I believe it is important for us to consider whether our machine learning solutions are sustainable or not. And I'd like to observe that, in fact, machine learning has a very large carbon footprint. A few years ago, the University of Massachusetts published a study that computed how much carbon footprint was associated with various technical solutions. They have found that a small machine learning model with only 213 million parameters, this is much smaller than what we use today with large language models, but basically training this kind of small model releases 626,000 pounds of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And this is equivalent to the lifetime emissions of 5 cars. Now, there are many, many of these models and even bigger ones that are being trained all over the world right now. So the question is, how can we ensure machine learning addresses many of our climate challenges, many of our critical business and societal problems, without having such a huge impact on sustainability? How can we develop more sustainable computations that need less energy and also, frankly, less water for cooling to train and to do inference? We believe that our liquid network solution can also help address some of the sustainability challenges with today's AI systems.
That is very encouraging and inspiring. With AI, it does take up so much power and so much energy. And that is something that we hear quite often these days when, you know, thinking about how we can use AI, it's expanding so exponentially. But yet we need to also look at the power that's being consumed and the impact on the environment. What inspired you to come up with this idea of this liquid AI?
The idea behind liquid networks is inspired by the brain of the humble worm. The humble worm has inspired a lot of neuroscience to date. We know a lot about it. We know that there are only 302 neurons that guide the life of a worm. With 302 neurons, the worm is able to move. It's able to find shelter. It's able to find food. And that's really extraordinary. And so the question we asked was, well, if we only need 302 neurons to have such complexity in a worm, how can we get inspiration from this to make smaller models? The other thing that's known about the neurons in the C. elegans worm is that each unit performs a very special type of differential equation that has been mapped by a biologist. And so we used inspiration from that knowledge, from that differential equation, to set up the computation inside the artificial neuron of the liquid network, and also to define how information flows in a liquid network.
That is phenomenal, and I'm so excited to see how this continues to progress. Andy, from your side, what do you feel the outcomes are for the future? What kind of benefits will we be able to give our clients with this particular collaboration?
All right. How do we help our clients access this technology? I think I probably wasn't thinking along these lines when we started the relationship, but it's the way that the relationship has grown. We have a large business operation that can present to the market in a relatively coherent way. We understand how large organizations work in terms of the way they adopt technology, and those kind of things are hard for a startup to get to grips with. So being able to work in different mode now as we move into a new phase and help the Liquid organization get its technology at scale to solve large-scale problems. We think, again, this is just a win-win for everybody. It's going to help inform the research, I'm sure, because as we start to know more about the application, the models, it's going to help us be able to solve more and more interesting problems for our clients.
And have a nice impact on the planet, too, particularly if it takes up so much less energy. Can you think about a specific client example or a specific client situation that could benefit from your research, Andy?
So everything is becoming more connected, everything's becoming more intelligent, and everything's becoming more autonomous. Computing is becoming decentralized. You know, we had a phase where it was all about servers in our IT rooms, and then everyone wanted to use cloud. Those are still both relevant for some classes of application, but increasingly we want to have access to that technology, where we call the edge of the IT world. We want to see its use in wearables. You want to have it in your watch, you want to have it in your jacket. We want the ability to access this computing power without having to go and talk to a machine based somewhere in a data center on the other side of the world. For all sorts of reasons, for sovereignty, for security, for performance, for carbon savings, there are lots of reasons why this decentralized compute can be more interesting.
That's great. Can you give us a few examples?
That can be, for example, putting compute into small devices, into drones, into handheld devices that are used by humans in the middle of a desert or an ice field. What they'll want to give them is access to technology solutions. It's really hard with models that require lots of compute. The kind of technology that Daniela talks about tends to produce less resource-hungry models. They're cheaper to run, they're quicker to train, and they don't require such large compute available. And so particularly in engineering, where you've got devices in hostile environments or you know a long way away from the cloud, these are the kinds of applications where this kind of technology is particularly helpful.
That's great. It really sounds like that there's a bright future ahead for this kind of technology and for the planet if this technology is more sustainable. So what comes next? Can you tell us a little bit about your plans for the future of this collaboration, Daniela?
We have a number of concrete problems that we are working on in the short term to address the development of performance small machine learning solutions that can run on edge devices, as Andy explained. And so more specifically, we want to bring more uncertainty analysis to the end-to-end pipeline of a machine learning decision-making process. We also want to understand the relationship between the attention inside the machine learning process and the result of that process. And we want to understand how machine learning is causal. In other words, is able to understand the inputs that cause certain effects and then correlate these inputs with the outputs. We are also connecting more deeply the results at MIT with the results at Capgemini into an end-to-end solution for the autonomy problem. And we want to apply the solution not just to self-driving cars, but to other types of devices like drones and other safety critical systems. We want to also come up with practical interpretation solutions for these machine learning approaches that run on edge devices. And we want to get to certifiability. In other words, to a method for certifying the AI solutions that get deployed on safety critical systems. And this is not just for autonomous vehicles, but more generally for edge devices and other safety critical systems. So altogether, we want to advance our understanding of how we come up with small compact solutions for edge devices and for other safety critical systems. And we want to ensure that these solutions support a wide range of applications.
Andy, do you have anything to add?
I think the idea of certification packs mentioned by Daniela is particularly interesting. So we can bridge from the technical innovation that's here and take it into formally into the world of the regulator for the different disciplines. I think that's, again, something we have a lot of experience across in the different zones, the different industries, with different societal expectations. I mean, regulators tend to behave in different ways. So to help bridge this will be an important area, particularly for application in the safety-specific area. So I'm looking forward to moving that forward. I think working with Liquid AI to take that technology into a broad range is interesting. Continuing to see genuine technical innovation and to play our part in working with the MIT CSAL is a tremendous privilege for us. You know, I've had a variety of roles in my life, and I've been on the university side of these things, and I've been on the industry side. And I generally view this interaction as a great privilege and pleasure. I see it as a benchmark approach to university-industry relationships. I'm thrilled to be involved.
Any last thoughts from you for the future, Daniela?
The partnership with Capgemini is a partnership I appreciate and enjoy so much. And I hope it continues for the long run, because I see many possibilities for working together. And our potential for impact is just kind of warming up. We can do so much more together in the future.
I agree. It's just the start.
It's just the start. So that's fantastic. Well, that's all the time we have for today's episode. Thank you, Daniela and Andy, for joining us today to discuss the importance of trust in AI, how Capgemini and the MIT are approaching trust in AI together, and the potential impacts of this research, such as a more reliable and more sustainable AI through liquid neural networks. Join us for our next episode, where we'll feature Capgemini's partnership with Berkeley on laser processing and accelerated discovery of optic materials. Remember to subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. We hope you enjoyed the new era of engineering, Crafting the Future, a show from Capgemini that showcases how academia and Capgemini come together to solve complex problems in order to create value for both business and the planet. We'll see you soon.